to the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Monday night show of the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. Joining me each week is a special day for to you, Steve. Happy birthday, mate.
Yeah, a little bit older, none the wiser, Jono.
None the wiser, just a few more grey hairs coming through. And
yeah, well, it's better. The listeners obviously have never seen me, but actually, when I grow my beard out longer, I get, like, you know, I've got dark hair, but I get a tinge of red through my beard. So I'm actually pretty happy to see grey instead of this
ginger,
mottled ginger, brownie, blacky beard.
Yeah, ginger, no good on. What, 3 or 4 years younger than you, and I've already got the grey coming through in the beard, so.
Well, you got the stressful job.
No, I had the grades before the stressful job, so, and hence why we are recording a little bit later tonight, because of my job and some of my staff letting me down, so having to do their work, so, but we're into it today.
Did you catch the number of the bus you just threw your teammates under there?
Workmate? No, he's going to get him. He's number one on the strampling list at the moment. Don't you worry about that.
I'm looking forward to Stremple because I'm going to bring out someone I could have brought out before we ever did strampling. This is an old enemy of mine.
Ooh, can't wait for that. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, I believe we had a couple of questions today, which we'll get to later in the show. If you would like to leave us a question, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to facebook.com/TheDraftDoctors, and if you need a bit more of a detailed message, leave it in the message there, and we are quite happy to answer it and read it out on the show for you.
Yeah, it's been great lately.
And also, if you'd like to leave us a review, head over to iTunes and hit the 5 stars and leave a review. It takes 30 seconds, and again, we'll read it out on air.
Yeah, and that's something you guys can do that really helps us, just the reviews and stuff on iTunes. And it takes no effort. Do it.
No, literally no effort whatsoever. But moving on to a bit of a news tonight, coming out of the MRP, Tom Hawkins offered 2 weeks reduced down to 1 week for his slap and tickle to Phil Davis there, but offered 1 week, so he misses this week. And Jonathan Segler also missing a week as well, so load up on Big Boy McAvoy if you can get him.
Who would have thought Tom Hawkins was capable of such savagery, Jono?
Yeah, it was almost as bad as that Bernie Vince one on the Saturday game, but oh well, each of their own, I suppose, and they're both missing a week, which is good. Not good for them guys, but good for the opposition.
Yeah.
And if you're an Eastern Wood owner, he is again to miss with, looks like, a low-grade hamstring injury, and Nick Knapp was seen on crutches the recovery session today and is in doubt to face the Crows this weekend.
Well, that'd be scaring the bejesus out of anyone who has Nick Knapp, especially in Supercoach.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, didn't have the greatest game on the weekend, but still back at Domain Stadium should dominate.
Yeah, the Lysette owner will be punch dancing across the street, though.
Oh, they certainly will. And I don't know if you saw this, but Jordan Bannister came out on Twitter over the weekend, and I'm going to clean the language up on this one. He made a poor decision with that free kick to Cade Stewart in the Hawthorn-Melbourne game and said he shouldn't have done it. So it's good to see the umpires come out and admit it.
I actually don't like it, Jono.
No?
I just don't like the language. Like, realistically, you're representing, like, I don't think umpires should be, you know, using profane language in the social media sphere, to be honest.
No, that's right, but not so much. I like the honesty, but I don't like the language, no.
Yeah, if I was the AFL, I'd, you know, there'd be a little slap on the wrist for that one, I reckon.
Yeah, the head of the umpires came out and said he's a little surprised by the tweet, but says he hopes it doesn't become a mainstay.
Yeah, I don't mind them admitting the error, but, you know, whatever.
Just choose your words carefully.
Yeah.
And we've had some positional changes in AFL Fantasy released today. We had 9 changes come out. Jack Billings has got forward status. Ben Keyes from Brisbane is now also a forward. Isaac Smith also getting forward status. Cam Guthrie getting defender eligibility. Pierce Hanley also defender eligibility. Josh Smith also defender. Orazio Fantasia getting defensive eligibility. And Jack Martin
getting forward.
Oh, forward, pardon me. And Jack Martin getting defensive eligibility for his whole 2 weeks in defence. And also Jackson Trangove getting ruck status for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, well, there's some interesting changes there, isn't there, Jono? I mean, if you're playing the draft game that changes position, it's complete garbage in our opinion. But, you know, the guys who added defence there, and even Isaac Smith, I guess. If you drafted them, you were pretty disappointed with them. All of a sudden, you're happy with them.
Absolutely, especially Cam Guthrie, which thought it might have been a bit sooner that he got that defensive status, but he finally got it anyway. But I think in Supercoach, you'll see him as a defender midfielder next year as well. I would think that's just my opinion, but that's what I'm thinking there.
Yeah, you'd imagine that. I can't believe Pierce Hanley getting it though. And even Isaac Smith, someone tweeted Isaac Smith's heat map, and it's like he somehow mistakenly ended up in the forward line a couple of times, so I don't know what the hell happened there.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen the heat map, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it was just a what the.
Oh, really?
I mean, you could have given him defensive status more easily, I reckon.
Wow, okay, I'll have to check that out. But moving on now to our studs and duds of the week. I don't know about you, Steve, but I've got a heap of studs and not many duds, so we'll get through this pretty quickly. Starting off with Friday night, which I thought was going to be a much closer game between the Tigers and the Roos. The Roos just came out and destroyed the Tigers right off the bat in that first quarter and never looked back. But with Daniel Wells, such an important cog to that team, playing really well. Nick Del Sano, we thought with that batch of tough games coming up that he might struggle to score, but he scored pretty well. Zeebel, Boomer, and another guy we've been pretty hard on, Drew Petrie, had a pretty good game too.
Yeah, they were the names I wrote down, and yeah, you're right on Drew Petrie. He looked like he had a point to prove. I liked it. I thought he was really great.
Yeah, and for the Tigers, Cochin just keeps doing what Cochin does. He's having a great year again. Even Sean Grigg, also having one of his best years stats-wise. Again, knocking it out of the park. Miles was good. Thought Rance was solid. And Lids, and for Supercoach purposes, only Edwards scored well, I thought.
Yeah, they're all right. And yeah, you mentioned the right guy, Sean Grigg. Ever since last year, I mean, even most of last year, he's just been ultra, ultra consistent.
Yeah. But on the other end, Brandon Ellis. Oh, did he bring the stinky cheese to Tasmania on Friday night?
Not a surprise, though. To be fair, though, Jono, would you say? I mean, the Roos are doing a really good job shutting down outside ball, so...
That is true.
To be fair. And you know, Dusty as well.
Well, that's right. Dusty's been so good those last few weeks. They just shut him down too. And wasn't he your captain this week in our League of Records?
Yeah, look, it was a tough week. Obviously, I had a lot out. And I didn't have the stone. Look, it didn't matter anyway, to be honest. But I didn't have the stones to roll the dice on Tex. But they just shut him down.
Yeah. Moving on to the Hawthorne v Melbourne game, I thought Pioppolo and Gunston in a very rain-affected game were very good, along with Vince Jones, Dom Tyson stepping up in the absence of Viney, Max Gorn, and Wagner, I thought was very good too.
Yeah, I'm going to give a... So who did you say from Hawthorne?
Poppy and Gunston.
Yeah, I'll give a bit of love to Mitchell Lewis and Smith also. But how about Cade Stewart, first game? Scored pretty nicely, I would have thought. A lot of tackles and kicked the goal.
And, yeah, a couple free kicks as well, I believe.
Hey, you take what you get.
That is true. But it's good. I don't know if you saw the footage of Ruffy in the coach's box when he got the free kick. Just pure bewilderment. It was quite funny.
Oh, well, you don't hate the player, hate the game.
That is true. And Cyril had a bit of a quiet one, which I thought he might have been pretty good in those sorts of conditions.
Yeah, I don't think it killed you. It's probably hard to know which small forward for Hawthorn's going to bob up, and you know Poppy and and Bruce both played pretty well, so that's okay. But man, McAvoy and Hogan, come on! I mean, you can give Hogan a pass in the conditions, I guess, but big boy, man,
One guy I just want, I'm going to give a stud to is Jack Trango for Melbourne, getting through his first game of footy in about 2 years. It's good to see him out there.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully he can build on it and have a good second half.
Yeah, and hopefully if they're good enough, maybe sneak into that eighth spot, maybe.
Oh, my God. Baby fizzes, it's all over for you, buddy.
Moving on to the other game, in much drier conditions, I can only give it to probably four guys here for the Brisbane Lions. You got Robbo, Zorko, Bastanac, and some guy, only just heard of him, Tom Rockliffe. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just been saving that one up for a few weeks, being on the sidelines. Was it 48 possessions, 204 Supercoach points, and 180-something Dream Team points? Just absolutely destroyed it. But obviously no one else wanted to come along the ride with him.
Yeah, I actually, I don't want to give any love to Zorko on that. I know he scored okay, but zero goals four.
0-4 did he kick? Ooh.
So I'm not giving that a tick. I can't give that a tick. But yeah, Rocky, those who kept the faith, well done.
Yeah, I was reading over Twitter over the weekend on that, and there's one guy actually had the VC in Supercoach on him. Man, that's a big set of kahunas right there, if you ask me.
Well, the winning team had him captain, so...
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the Blues, they just keep getting it done. Kerridge had a good game. Ed Curno, fantastic form. Wiedering did a great job on Shaky. Old man Simpson, he's just winding back the clock, getting it done, having a really good year. Never thought I'd say this guy's name. Or even think he'd be fantasy relevant, but
does it rhyme with orange?
Sorry,
does it rhyme with orange? His surname?
It does rhyme with orange. It is Dan Gorringe. I mean, Jesus Christ! He's put together a couple of good weeks in the last few weeks, so he's doing all right, the old Dan. And Dennis the Menace Armfield also slotting a few goals as well. And my boy Tui.
Yeah, he's doing. Doing better than your boy, what was his name, from Adelaide?
Hampton?
Hampton, Curtly Hampton, holy Jesus. Yeah, no, it's actually...
I don't know who he is anymore. Who is this guy?
Yeah, who? Wait, what? did you mean Curtly Ambrose?
Yeah, that's him, yeah. The big... Oh, man. But did you say that was Jeffy Garlett?
There was a bit of stinky cheese in this game, though.
Oh, the next game? Yeah.
No, this game, Carlton.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry. Tom Bell didn't even play. Daniel Rich got tagged a bit. And he's becoming a bit of a mainstay in the dud section. It's an old Steph Martin.
Oh, he wasn't that bad. He got 80s in, didn't he? He got 80 in Dream Team. I know that much.
And 69 in Supercoach.
That's not great.
Nope.
How about Pierce Hanley?
What did he score? Crap?
Yeah, crap. Gibbs got tagged.
Doherty down. Probably his first down game in all season that I can remember.
Yeah, and but Daisy was...
Daisy is crap. We know that. But moving on to the Saturday night game down at the Cattery, it was a pretty good game in the end. Cats taking on the GWS. Selwood finally awoken from his slumber and had a really good game to get the Cats over the line. Bartell, Zach Smith, old man Enright. Loving what Guthrie is doing this year. I think he's having a great year. And the big Tomahawk as well really played well.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. If one of these Geelong Ruckman is out, the other's going to benefit. And man, Zach Smith, you'd like to hone him and you wouldn't mind seeing Rhys Stanley take a while to come back.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath because Mitch Clark destroyed it in the VFL, so they're probably going to bring him in pretty soon as well.
Well, that's okay because Tomahawk is out.
Yeah, that's true. But would Mitch Clark play ruck, you think?
No.
A little bit?
No.
Oh, they'd put Blixars in, wouldn't they?
Probably.
And for the GWS, Whitfield, Ward had a good game, Dylan Scheel, Heath Shaw, and Zach Williams also playing pretty well yet again.
Yeah, all good.
And for the other side, we've got Duncan and, oh, old Donuts stinking it up yet again.
Jesus, Donuts. Come on.
What's he doing? I don't know, getting a hot dog instead of playing the game? Who knows?
When the going gets tough, Stevie Marlop, don't get going.
Got to throw this guy under. Toby Green, 8 free kicks against. Yeesh.
Man, I don't think he scored after half time. He had like 3 goals and was set for 150, but...
And then just kept getting reduced. I know it was wet, but jeez.
And he just decided to pretend he was in Zagami's in Caulfield and...
he didn't get naked and punch on with bounces, did he?
I think things didn't work out for Toby in the end.
Nope, no, they did not. But Coniglio having another down game. And the wet and Scully, and I thought this guy should have done pretty well was Mumford, using his big body to smash the Cats ruckman around, but not so much.
How about Jeremy Cameron? Not much. How about Stevie J? Not much.
Yeah, Cameron, non-existent for me.
I thought Stevie J might get a bit of a revenge game swag, but no.
Not to be. Got the first goal, and that was about it. And heading up to the new Olympic swimming pool up in Metricon Stadium was the Gold Coast taking on the Swans. Prestia Ablett, Rosa was really good. Miller and Riscatelli also really good. I couldn't believe Riscatelli. We thought he was going to be out, you know, for an extended period, but here he is racking up tons in fantasy.
Well, that's the sort of game that suits him. It's the contested tackle-y game.
I mean,
like every Sydney mid just went full ham because it's wet.
Oh, wet's an understatement, wasn't it?
Someone tweeted a funny joke. They said whoever it was won the toss and have elected to kick with the tide.
Yeah, the tide was important.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, that rain, the rain has affected half the east coast of Australia. Like this morning in our Sydney office, there's only 3 people able to get to work because of the flooding up there.
Bunch of pussies.
That's what I said. if they can't make it to work, I'm going home. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's right. Tools down. Boom.
Yeah. Then the big boss rang up and said, no, get back to work. I'm like, damn it. But as you said, every Sydney midfielder was good. Tippett, I thought, was exceptional in those conditions. And Rampy as well was also very good.
Did you mention Rowan?
He was the next guy I was about to mention as well.
Yeah, Rowan could be available in some leagues. He's been okay.
Yeah, I think I've got him for maybe a trade waiver pickups.
Yeah, cool.
Tommy Lynch.
Oh, give him a pass, man. Come on.
No. Not for that, but for 2 minutes ago, you can't win the game and you gut punch someone.
Oh, well. gut punch Rocket Eid, Jesus.
Yeah, he needs it. Aaron Hall.
It's Aaron Hall.
Forking him. He is done, people.
Well, again, this is why I was surprised Rowan did so well. Outside player. I'm not going to, you know, eat their lunch for having a bad game, but it's not good.
No, not good. And game of the round, this one. Freo v. the Bombers. Freo thought they'd give the rest of the competition a bit of a head start. Actually played some pretty good football with Mundy coming back from that calf, scoring well. Lockie Neal, again, in exceptional form. Barlow, we've been talking about this guy for a lot. Connor Blakely, also very good. Hayden Crozier, Mickey Walters, your boy. Pierce, and is that second gamer now, I think. Sam Collins, also very good.
Yeah, I'm predicting Sam Collins is going into a lot of salary cap teams this week.
Yep, and I reckon he'd probably go into a few draft leagues too.
Well, we'll talk about him.
Oh yeah, I've got him on my list. And for the Bombers, Zach Merritt found a bit of form. Goddard, and get your spew bags, people, because Louis fired up.
Spewenberger, doing well.
Oh yeah. Ugh. I have to have a sip of bourbon to get that taste out of my mouth. No, I don't think... Oh, I've just got Zaharakis as the only dud for that game, really.
Yes, he was.
Yes, was he tagged or just crap all of
Just crap.
Just crap.
Just crap. Scrap, man.
I didn't see a lot of it. That's all that game. I was watching the swimming trials up at Metricon.
Yeah.
But Sunday game, these guys were deplorable. Collingwood, very, very deplorable. But Pendles was good. The ghost of Ben Reid playing very good football. And I can't believe I keep saying this name, but Jeremy Howe.
Man, he did great considering he spent like most of the second quarter on the, well, half of the second quarter on the bench, and he still rolled out some amazing scores.
Yeah, I think he was a 105 super coach, and I can't really remember his dream team, but
someone made the one of the commentators actually made a good point during the game, and said, "Look at how aggressive the Collingwood players are," and he was right. If they take an intercept mark, it's fantastic, and it's going to be, you know, obviously fantasy points galore and super coach points galore. But when they don't take the intercept mark, it's a goal.
Yep.
It's basically a goal. So, you know, well, like all the small forwards played well. And I mean, Collingwood are playing Melbourne this week, and the goals that that Port were able to manufacture over the back, I mean, look at what Jeff Garlett's going to be able to do. Like, he should get on the end of a few, I would think.
Even to an extent, Ben Kennedy, and we know he's been down, but he'll get on to a bit. But yeah, For Port Adelaide, yeah, you're right, those small forwards, Impey, Need, Wingard, Young, just awesome, really. And the Hoff just running up and down the wing, doing as he pleases.
Yeah, they all dined. They all dined out big time. I thought Charlie Dixon actually played just a good football game. His scores probably didn't reflect it. But
yeah, he's been doing that probably the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks now.
Yeah, he's been great.
The duds for me, I had, I'm going to give it to him, Treloar. Like, honestly, his scores weren't too bad, but still, I just, more from him was expected, I thought.
It was pretty pretty goddamn harsh. I just said Hamish Hartlett.
And Jackson Trengove.
Oh, well, it's Jackson Trengove.
Yeah, that's right. Who did you have? Hamish Hartlett?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. Oh, I want to go back to the Richmond game as well. The person who knocked out Nick Vlosten pretty much cost me the Listener League game. Lost by 9 points.
So, wait a minute. Wait, are you blaming the person or are you blaming Nick Vlosten?
The person who knocked out Nick Vlosten.
Wait, you have Nick Vlosten in a league?
Yep.
How does that happen?
I've had him a couple of weeks, actually.
How do you have that? How does that happen? You hate Nick Vlosten.
I was desperate for a defender.
What a freaking turncoat.
No. That's not turncoating.
That's garbage. Oh, because he can't scale in Dream Team, I guess.
That's right. So, yeah. Whoever knocked out Nick Vlosten, you were also in the dud list. But moving on to what was a pretty good game of football at Etihad Stadium between the Doggies and the Eagles. Lockie Hunter seemed to have brought his own footy and just had it on a string. Jack McRae, also very good. Youngest captain to ever get a win in Bontempelli, absolutely destroyed it. Matty Boy just winding back the clock, doing what he does. Suckling, love that, kicking out of rebounding from defensive 50, loving that left foot of his. Liver was good for me as well.
Yeah, they're all on the list, and I thought, you know, Pritis obviously tried pretty hard for the Eagles.
Yeah, so did Hearn, and just for Dream Team purposes, Maston and Shuey were also very good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw Dalhouse, JJK, Lysette, and Nick Knack under the bus.
I think you're a bit harsh on Lysette, honestly.
Nah.
Like, what did you expect from him going into the season?
But like, he was playing majority of the ruckman because Nick Knack was off for like...
So he rolls out 70s.
Well, he should have been higher because he played basically a whole quarter on his own. Because Nick Nat was off with the blood.
70s don't kill you from a guy who you maybe got a free agency.
Nah, I'm going to throw him under the bus. I want more.
Jesus Christ.
I'm harsh.
I think you're not seeing... I think you're just seeing red, man. You're seeing Nick Vlosten's head.
I'm seeing red, white, and blue.
Wee.
And to the last game, we had Adelaide and someone that resembled St Kilda. Josh Jenkins bagging another 8 goals, getting that contract money up. Rory Sloan destroyed it. Source, Matty Crouch, who was a late-in for old man Thompson. Apparently his arthritis was playing up. Jakey Lever, Daniel Talio, which talk about a little bit later, the big Texan and Seedsman and Jared Lyons, all very good.
Yeah, I had all those guys. You see, one of, was it Lever or Talia? One of them took 17 marks.
Gee whiz.
Pretty handy. Yeah, Scott Thompson, interesting story, Joe. Since I've had him on the field in the Listener League, he was a late withdrawal. Had to make do with my replacement, Dion Prestia's 150.
That's a shame, isn't it?
That was handy. But yeah, they were
big time. What did you score again?
2005.
That's a pretty good score.
It was huge, anyway.
And for the Saints, I can only say Savage and Jack Stephen were of any decency.
Yeah, yeah, there was a few injuries on the Saints side as well, so...
Yeah, we saw Nick Riewoldt clash knees with Hickey.
Hugh Goddard snapped the Achilles, I think.
It was Achilles, was it? Okay, yeah. McCartan got knocked out. And did Montagna play at all? Because, geez.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And Eddie Betts, I suppose not every forward can get in on the goal feast when playing St Kilda, but he certainly did not enjoy that.
Yeah, Eddie's missed out a couple of times, surprisingly enough. I had a few more, man. I had Dylan Robertson, Jack Nunes, and Jack Billings as well.
Yep, I had Billings as well. But, yeah, not good for the Saints away. They feel like Brisbane at the moment just don't travel too well.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they're going to probably have to roll in Tom Lee now, I guess, with Fisher missing a month. I mean, I'm certainly looking to stream key forwards against St Kilda now. Jeez, I mean, certainly had Tex on the field. I had Josh Jenkins on the field. I mean, oof. Get on board that. Although they're playing Carlton this week, so I don't know.
Get on Casbolt, people.
Yeah, that's where my confidence
Liam Jones, woohoo!
My confidence levels start to wane around Levi Casbolt levels.
Well, maybe the week after if they don't have the bye then.
Did we mention Pav in the studs? I know he didn't score huge, but he really turned back the clock. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, actually, he was pretty good. Like I said, I didn't see a lot of the game, but yeah, Pav, I heard by all reports, Pav was really good.
Yeah, and they got Brisbane this week, and we know Key Forwards are playing pretty good against Brisbane, so in a pinch.
Yeah, load it up. All right, moving on now to our waiver pickups for the week. Again, we've spoken about this guy for a couple of weeks now. He's in 40% of teams. Connor Blakely, getting that midfield time and getting it done.
Yeah, absolutely. He's on my list as well. I'm going to stick with Nick Graham. He's in 64% of teams, but I still feel like he's a really good matchup, and again playing the Saints this week, that feels pretty handy as well.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before, this guy's going to be in just about every single salary cap team this week. That's Sam Collins, only in 8% of teams, so could be handy just to stick there as an emergency or just on the side and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I think maybe there's some better options. What do you think? I got Zach Dewitt at 54% owned. Darcy Byrne Jones is still only 45. How about Braden Maynard? Only 26% owned.
Yeah, well, I've got a name for you as well. Daniel Talia, 27%. Yeah, you might say, but. As we've known, we know he's generally not a big scorer, but we've seen this year that the Crows' points are going to their forwards and defenders, so...
Oh, key back.
Yeah, but if you look at it, he's actually had some pretty good scores over the last few weeks, so... If you just... It could all depend on matchup relevancy as well.
They got the Eagles
West Coast
this week.
Week,
yeah. And they got that first bye as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something different.
That's something different. A few more guys in the midfield. I've still got Rory Atkins at 56% and Aaron Young is at 68%, which is kind of high, but yeah. And,
I've got Aaron Young as well, and his form's improved along with Port Adelaide, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, Port have got a tough matchup this week in the Bulldogs, obviously, so they tend to not give a lot of points away, but you know, that's one. And also, Ryan Davis, only in 17% of teams. He's, okay. I mean, things have got to get better for the Suns, I think. And it seems like he's starting to pick up the game a bit more. I'm probably not wavering for him, but he might be someone I'm looking to add off free agency once it clears.
Yeah, I got Took Miller as well. He's at mid-forward, 52% of teams. Looked pretty fit. I know it was torrential rain, but I'd like to see him in a dry game and just see what he can actually do this week.
Yeah, well, we're up against the Tigers. That's probably not a too bad a matchup.
Okay, yeah, it could be someone, if you're looking for that fifth forward, that you're streaming a forward five each week.
Yeah, I got a few interesting forward options, I reckon, John. I got about Hayden Crozier, 25% owned. He's playing a bit more back. He's listed as a forward, but he's playing a bit more back and getting a bit more of the ball. And he's had some okay scores over the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
So a bit interesting there. We got James Harms against Collingwood, 33% owned. We know he's capable of kicking a few goals in a game. Jeffy Garlett, 17% owned. Again, I like those forwards who are going to collect the ball over the top. I think that could be his go against Collingwood.
Yep.
This one's pretty ballsy. How about Ty Vickery against the Suns?
That is ballsy.
That is super ballsy.
But, if he's got his chicken radar on, I totally agree, but just which Ty Vickery turns up?
The ugly one.
Well, he's an ugly man.
says the supermodel. podcast. Yeah. I don't know. He's an interesting streaming option. I mean, it's really weird because the teams I like to stream against, they've all sort of got teams that really don't, like, I mean, you know, I like streaming against Brisbane, Fremantle. I mean, they don't really have a big forward I want to go with.
Collingwood.
Well, Collingwood, yeah. I mean, Hogan's owned. I'm not ballsy enough to roll doors out there, so I guess Garlett's the option. And yep. Gold Coast have been good to stream against, but Richmond, I mean, outside of Jack Martin, do you roll Griffiths or Vickery? Probably neither. And who's the other team we like to... Oh, we're talking about St Kilda and Carlton. I mean, so they're all... You know, they're kind of crummy matchups to stream someone.
Yeah, and get your spew bag ready, Steve, because I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Dan Gorringe at 18%, is he really fantasy relevant?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't. There's too much vomit. I don't have that many bags.
Yeah. He's, like I said, he's put a couple of weeks together, a couple of nice scores, so...
You know those giant bags you get at Target that you can put like a bicycle in?
Yeah.
That's the sort of bag I'd need.
Yeah. I mean, if I had bags for Costco, that would be a pretty big bag.
Yeah. How about, we're talking rocks, how about Magic Door if Goldie doesn't come up this week?
Yeah, non-existent in that first quarter against the Tigers, but then came back and scored pretty well with high 80s.
Yeah, so they're playing Geelong. It's not like the Geelong rocks are... super fantastic. He's in 40% of teams. He scored mid-80s both times he's played. Okay. That's not horrible.
Yeah, and when we saw, as we know, Segal was out for that week, so big boy McAvoy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
But moving on now to some trade targets that you might be looking at this week. One guy... I actually like the look of him and the way he's been going about his football, and he'd be an ideal F5 for you, is Dan Menzel. Averaging in the 80s in Supercoach in the 70s Dream Team. Got a nice high ceiling with that we've seen, and he's got a decent floor around that 50 to 60 mark, so not too bad, but I don't think you'd have to give up too much for him, would you?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. You know, Dan Menzel's certainly an interesting player, and we know he's got the capability of going off in a match. Maybe. Yeah, that's not too bad. I know you mentioned his teammate last week. I'm actually going to get on board with you.
Yeah.
And that's the Donuts, man.
Stevie Motlop.
He's had
yep.
three absolute shockers in a row. I feel like three's... I know there's no reason or rhyme behind this, but I feel like when you're talking duds with a gun, three really two might not be far enough divorced away from his gun scores, but three, it feels like there's a bit of a sour taste in your mouth now.
Yeah, that's right. So you might be able to throw a low ball offer and the owner might just rage trade him out of that team.
Yeah, the only problem is they got North Melbourne this week, and we've seen North Melbourne are obviously capable of holding teams to some pretty low fantasy numbers. But I'd take a bad week if I got him for the right price.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, it's all about the end game, and we know Geelong got a pretty juicy finals run.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe he's a little bit more gettable than he was last week.
Yeah. One guy I've got here, a bit of a forgotten man for the GWS, he's coming back in a week or two, Ryan Griffin.
Your boy.
My boy, the spineless one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. I'm going to throw this at you as a bit of a surprise question here. But who do you think takes a hit when Ryan Griffin comes back? Because we know Griffin can play in a couple of positions. Are you thinking maybe a Zach Williams, Nick Haynes type? That running defender, half-back type player? Or?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think it'd be more likely he'd slot back into the midfield because they seem to like him as a clearance player. So maybe a Toby Green. Maybe, I don't want to say
Caniglia.
I don't want to say it because I really like Caniglia and he's been great this year, but maybe it is.
Yeah, I know. The question just came. I was just thinking about it today. I'm like, who does take the hit? And all depends on where he plays, I suppose.
Yeah, they could easily throw him down back, in which it's really hard to say because obviously they're a very balanced team. It might just be a case of last man in, first man out, sort of.
Yeah, quite possibly. But
it's not like he's going to walk straight in. They might bring him back through the twos.
Yeah, I'm not sure when their bye is, but yeah, if they've got that middle bye, then why rush him back?
Well, they've got the last bye.
Oh, okay. So they might just put a couple of... Well, it's 1 week from when I checked this afternoon, so then you got one game spare, really.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, because there's certainly a lot of people playing very well.
Yeah, very interesting. And you probably wouldn't forgive up too much for Griffin anyway, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Because he's kind of inconsistent when he's even there.
Yeah, he's got that 93 average super coach and 84 or 5, I think it was, for Dream Team.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So you probably wouldn't have to give up too much.
Well, you probably have to give up a bit in Ultimate because he's got the defensive listing.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But yeah. I've got actually one of his teammates down as a trade target. That's Tom Scully.
Yep. Love Tom Scully's year this year.
Yeah, having a great year, but coming off a few lower scores. I think three of his last four in Dream Team have been in the 80s, and his last three in Supercoach have been in the 80s. But okay. They've got the Swans coming up this week. But after that, their draw really opens up, I think, for GWS. And I don't think... I think Tom Scully's going to feed on those outside games where GWS are going to control the inside. We know he's kicked a lot of goals this year for a midfielder. So I feel like Tom Scully, it seems like he's got a nice high floor now. So he might be... And it's Tom Scully. Like, who really wants him?
That's right.
People might not have faith in him.
No, that's right. But we certainly love him here at the Draft Doctors.
Yeah, he's been... actually, we were talking to some of the people in the Listener League and they were talking about who's been the biggest value this year. And in our draft, it's been Tom Scully. I think he was like pick 220-something.
Yeah, absolutely. But now I've only got the two trade targets this week. I was doing my research, but unfortunately work had to pull me away. So I've only got the two for your listeners this week, I'm afraid.
I got one more. Well, I got one more and a bit of a general call. Brandon Ellis.
Yeah, interesting.
Okay, coming off an absolute horror game last week. He's been a little bit up and down this year, but over the last 2 years, he's been ultra, ultra consistent. One thing, if you look at the Tigers, man, they have got a soda of a draw coming up, really, until the the first week of the finals. So, I mean, I think they got the Bulldogs in there, but aside from that, I mean, look at this. They got the Suns this week, then they got the bye, then Brisbane, Port, then it's the Bulldogs, then Essendon, then, oh, sorry, Hawthorn then. So there's some, you know, really winnable games in there. I feel like Brandon Ellis is absolutely going to play well. And for any, for that matter, most of the good Tigers in general, but I feel like he's probably very gettable at the moment coming off his absolute horror score. And really sort of a downish year in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Normally that solid 105 type average and just gets that each week sort of thing, might go a little bit higher and doesn't go too much lower, but yeah, having a bit of a shocking year for Brandon Ellis this year.
Well, yeah, for his high standards, let's be honest, Jono, because he sets the bar pretty high. But the one thing I do love about him, he never misses games.
No, always plays every week.
So you love that in a player as well. And yeah, so yeah, Tigers in general as well. But that's all my trade targets for the week.
All right, moving on now to our Strample of the Week. Steve, you mentioned earlier in the week, a bit of a nemesis for you. Who is it?
It's Ted Mosby, Jono.
Ted Mosby. No one likes Ted Mosby.
I freaking hate Ted Mosby. I don't know. What the heck? How was this a show?
See, I've seen the show. I've watched the whole series, and my fiance goes, "Who's your least favorite character?" And I just say, Mosby. Hands down, he's the worst character. He just brings nothing to the show.
He brings nothing to the table.
No, nothing.
He's the most vanilla character of all time.
So if he was in fantasy, you'd draft him?
Jesus! That's rough. That's rough. That's horrible, man. Come on.
Yeah, as I said earlier, my work colleague throwing me under the bus because he originally sent me a message this morning saying, he'll be in at 10:30, but then at 10:35 says, nah, can't be stuffed. So he threw me under the bus, so he needs a big strimpling. And as I said earlier, the bloke who knocked out Nick Flosden and cost me my listener league win.
Yeah, I would like to give a reverse strimple. I did strimple Mrs. Fizz a little while ago, but she came through with a fantastic birthday present today, Jono, so it all gets taken back.
Was it Colts merchandise?
No, it was the NFL Game Pass.
Oh, sweet. That's like the best present ever.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So every NFL game, me and Baby Fizz will be watching Andrew Luck lead the Colts in the goddamn Super Bowl, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not. Probably watching Andrew Luck lead us to the interception championship total. Yeah, he don't care about where that ball goes.
Nope.
Anyway.
But question time. Opening up the mailbag now. We've got a few questions this week, Steve.
Do we?
I don't know.
When you said that, I was surprised. Do we?
Oh, no. There was something on Facebook which I never got to look around to looking at.
Ah, yeah, we did. Oh, well, we did get the question posed to us from the league where they asked, who do you think has been probably the biggest draft value so far?
Oh, okay. Yeah, draft value. Yeah. I don't know where he went, but maybe Doherty?
Yeah, Doherty's name came up. I think people were sort of saying Tom Scully, but I thought Seb Ross.
Yeah, having a very good year.
And I also thought Jasper Pittard, but he seemed to go... He went actually a lot higher in our listener league than his ADP. So,
okay.
So that was interesting.
And what about, I know he's in my team, but Sean Grigg, I know he's having a good year.
Yeah, I don't have his ADP with me, but yeah, he certainly got mentioned. I was actually writing a piece for the A Dozen Deals column on steals and busts, and yep. His name came up in there, Zach Williams.
Yep.
So Savage. Daniel Rich, actually, his ADP is pretty...
and going on forever and ever.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Michael Walters, Jared Waite. I mean, what was he doing at the start of the year?
Yeah, who would have picked that one?
So that was amazing. Zacharakis was pretty low. Ed Curnow?
Yeah, well, that's a golden one. That one, I don't even know if he got drafted in our little league.
Yeah, he did. He was.
Would have been very late then.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't. It was actually way before Scully. I think it was about 180 or something.
Okay.
So someone was keyed into that.
I know, in our league of record, I picked him up out of the pool.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's just crazy that you know, we can have ADPs and we can all have our thoughts, but some guys get drafted and then they get thrown back in. I mean, Lysette has been one of the top ruckmen. Kurt Tippett, really.
Yeah, who was? He's having a great year. Start off slow, but really killing it this at the moment.
So we got a question.
All good answers.
We got a question here. Hey guys, what should I do with Andrew Gaff? I traded a good player to get him in, and now isn't producing the scores. He should be. What should I look to get for him? We know Gaff had the big hit a couple of weeks ago during the game. Did he miss the week? He missed the week. And then came back this week, and you know, they had a tough matchup in the Doggies, let's be honest.
Well, we know West Coast don't travel well this... are struggling to travel this year, so give another week. I think back at Domain Stadium against a really good game against the Crows this week. Hold firm. Like, we know it takes a bit of time to recover from these head knocks, and they've got the bye coming up as well, so...
Well, that's if they recover, Johnny.
That is if they recover, but... He actually wasn't too bad in the game, Gaff. I was watching the game last night. He wasn't too bad. It's just that, the Doggies have strangled him too much and made him turn the ball over. That's all it was.
They've got some easier games coming up after the Adelaide game. Like, they've got Brisbane, then they got the bye, then they've got Essendon. So there's a couple of easier games. But, I mean, if you're looking, if you know, that's one way to go is hold him and hope he comes good. But the other side is, when we're talking trades, it's we try to trade when a player's got good value, and right now Gaff's value is lower.
Yep.
So you're sort of looking to trade for a sort of a less known player, I would imagine, or someone else who's a little bit down, like we're talking Brandon Ellis. You know, Shane Edwards maybe isn't one of the stars of the comp, so you could get him, Travis Boak, Grant Birchall. Tom Scully, or maybe even an injured player like a Jason Johannesson, or a Mark Murphy, if you were so inclined to take that risk, but they're not going to score you any points.
Yeah, that's right. A good point you made there. Yeah, you could be looking to use him as another trade to improve another section of your team, either your defence or forward or ruck. So,
yeah, it's weird when you want to sell a player, isn't it, Jono? That if you know, say you've got a mid and you try to swap him for another mid. It sort of looks a bit funky to the other person, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's right. Like, in our legal record, I put up Mundy and Martin in a combo, and I thought, yeah, I'd get a decent offer. Like, I was looking for a forward and get a decent forward offer, but absolutely got nothing. And look at this week. Mundy comes out and scores a 120 or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought Eifert Edwards. I didn't think that was unreasonable.
Oh, no, that's not unreasonable. But,
you're certainly not obliged to take it, but
you know,
I just think it's a bit funny. Like, if someone's coming to me after a mid and all the swap is a mid for a mid, I think it's a bit funny. So going after like Birchall, who's a little bit down on what he can do, Johannesson, who's a defender, who's one of the top defenders, who's injured, Shane Edwards, these guys are in different positions, so it doesn't look as suspicious. They're like, oh, you know, I need a forward, I don't need a mid, I need a forward.
Yeah.
Or defender or whatever it is. Like, it just seems less suspicious to me in my mind.
And if you are looking to get rid of Gaff, have a look at your opponent's team. See where, you know, they could be midweek and be strong in a position that you're lacking, say, that forward or defender, and that's where you can attack it.
Yeah, absolutely, John. That's another great point, I think, when you're doing trades. Look at the other teams.
Yeah, and also you might have something, throw it in a kicker just to make that deal that little bit sweeter for the opposition, even though, you know, you think you're going to be the winner of that trade.
Yeah, absolutely. No one wants to walk. I mean, no one's going to do a trade if they think they're losing it, do they?
No, that's right. So, yeah, if you can throw in something to sweeten that deal that makes them think, oh, yeah, I'm winning this trade, yeah, do it.
But I think Gaff is someone you should be able to trade even in poor form, because he's... He's Andrew Gaff. He's a name. He's a brand.
That name, exactly right.
So I hope that works out for Aaron, whichever way he goes.
Yeah. I think that just about wraps it up, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've been reading the Dozen Deals column, that'll be out again tomorrow at dozendeals.blogspot.com.au. We put out the, the buy round thoughts last week, which I thought was a pretty interesting column for some people.
Yeah, the old dreaded buy round coming up. It's going to hurt a few people, but something we can talk about maybe next week when it happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you do want to follow us on social media and leave us a question, you can head over to Twitter where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to facebook.com/The Draft Doctors. Leave us a question there. Send us your thoughts on how we can even improve the show. We'd love to hear all your feedback and make it a better listening experience for you guys.